What is lurking deep in the swamps of Louisiana? Is a protected swampland the perfect place for a cryptid to hide? Could a strange footprint prove its existence? Today, we test the believability of the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Welcome to Believe in the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
And tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday. It's still cold outside. It's snowy. No matter where you are, I don't even care. You people in California and Miami listening, it's cold.
Or you're in Louisiana right now. It's cold.
I bet it is. I bet it is. It's still muggy somehow. Somehow it's muggy. And cold.
Can
and
you imagine?
I can't explain that.
That'd be terrible.
Like, your sinuses are like, I'm out. I don't know what to do. Good luck.
Your head would blow up.
And you got to put a mask on. It's just all bad news. So before we dive into this, I just want to say a quick thank you to everybody who joined our Patreon and took advantage of getting that awesome BTB beanie.
It looks good on all of you.
Yes. And if you don't know that yet, because you haven't got it yet, just know that it is coming. Shipping sucks, but don't fret. It is on its way. If you were in that tier in the month of January at any time, you are getting this hat. But enough of hats. We're talking about honey and islands and swamps.
I love 2/3 of those things.
You don't like swamps. Is that it?
I don't know if I don't, but I know I like honey and I know I like islands.
Can you do a Louisiana accent? It's like a certain type of Southern.
The crayfish are biting out there.
No. It's crazy because I had a professor in college that, like, somebody said, I know exactly what county in Louisiana you're from, just based on, like, really? His dialect.
Wow.
Is that right? Dialect? Is that what? Okay. So before we get into the swamp monster, let's talk about Honey Island Swamp.
I was thinking about the dude from Waterboy.
Mama says that the swamp monster is no good. I just want to play foosball, but the swamp monster keep wanting to be eating everyone.
Gatorade.
H2O. So where is Honey Island Swamp? It is a marshland on the eastern side of Louisiana. Okay. I pulled up Google Maps because I was ready. I was ready for any question you were going to throw my way.
Okay.
I never knew how New Orleans looked.
Like a boot?
No, that's Louisiana. State, yeah. That's the entire state. I mean, how it's like, it's like, Nolens is kind of like its own thing down there.
It's on
there.
The Delta, right?
I don't know. What are you saying?
The Delta of the river.
It's like separated. I didn't realize. I thought it was like on like the edge. Uh-huh. But it's kind of like separated from the state in a way. Like, it looks like you have to get a bridge to go there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been. It looks cool, though.
I'd like to go, hopefully, March, actually.
Is that where you want to go in March?
Perhaps for a couple of days, yeah.
Nolens?
Maybe.
Get some crawfish and some Popeye's chicken.
If we can get a cheap enough flight, yeah, we're probably going to go.
Hang out with Drew Brees, who's no longer there.
Good.
Oh, you hate Drew Brees.
I
forgot.
Drew Brees.
That's unjustfully. It's bordered on the south by Lake Bourne. Born. I think the G is silent. I'm going to say, like a beignet. I think the G is silent, so I'm going to say born. On the north, Route 11, which actually goes to Ohio, too. On the east, Pearl River. And on the west, Pearl River. Very creative names there. Technically, the swamp is located inside the Pearl River Wildlife Management Area, and it's called Honey Island because apparently there used to be a ton of honeybees nearby. So maybe you might want to rethink going to this area.
I don't like bees.
I know you don't like bees.
I got stung by a bee and I fell over.
I know. Did you tell that on this podcast?
No, I did not, no.
Because I got stung when we were getting ready for Porch Rocker.
Yeah.
And I took it like a champ.
Yeah, you're like, oh, hello, Mr. Wasp. Would you like to sting me?
Ouch. That did hurt indeed. It didn't hurt till like the next day. So this swamp island is 20 miles long and about 7 miles across. And what makes this area so cool and so unique is the fact that, like I said, it's part of this protection, like wildlife management area, and it's sanctioned protected wildlife. So they can't, you can't just like mess around. Like people can go in there. Obviously people have gone in there, but in terms of this specific swampland compared to many other swamplands you could check out in the United States, it's relatively untouched. So that means like people aren't going in and cutting stuff down, disturbing the wildlife, making, you know, squirrels and cryptids run out and leave. So what could be lurking around in these pretty much untouched swampland area? Perhaps the Honey Island swamp monster?
I just imagine a bear. Just, it's Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
It's Winnie the Pooh.
Well, put some pants on, bro. So what is the Honey Island swamp monster? The Honey Island swamp monster is a humanoid bipedal cryptid that was first spotted in this area in 1963.
By Christopher Robin?
Yeah, in the 100-acre swamp. He's like, this sucks. Instead of like piglet, it's, oh, hey, crawfish. So I think this is kind of a monumental moment in the current existence of Believing the Bizarre. Do you know why?
No, I don't know why.
Because this is, so to speak, the first time that you and I will ever be discussing what someone could resemble as a Bigfoot.
Oh, okay. So we're getting into this territory now.
Getting a little sassy. Okay. Getting a little sassy around here. Although I think there's an argument to be made that potentially in William's story, you know, that could have been something in the Bigfoot world.
I don't know.
Still thinking about it peering, like pulling the weeds, the brush across.
That's so scary.
Peeking at him and his dogs. What you cooking? So this is actually known as the Cajun Sasquatch.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
No.
You don't like that name?
Makes you think of Cajun pasta with shrimp.
I think people just associate New Orleans and Louisiana with food.
Yes, I think that might be right.
So what does it look like? I feel like I already semi-painted the picture, but I'll fill it in for you. The Honey Island Swamp Monster is described as being ape-like, between 7 and 8 feet tall, weighing in at about 400 to 500 pounds. So it's on that not deer life.
Yeah, it's a big boy.
It has thick brown or gray matted hair, yellow, almost reptilian eyes, and an odor bad enough to make you gag.
That's stinky.
Stinky. It's very stinky. But unlike the more Pacific Northwest Bigfoot entities, these guys have webbed feet.
Because they're in a swamp.
That's one of the theories. There's two theories.
Okay.
First theory, obviously, like you just said, swampy conditions. So they got them duck feet.
They got them paddle boats.
The paddle foot feet. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta walk around, and it'd be really hard to do in if you don't have webbed feet, I guess. I don't know.
No, to swim through the swamp.
He's swimming?
Through the swamp.
I just imagine since he's like 8 foot, he's just doing that like that, what's it called? It starts with a T. You're like...
Oh, trudging.
Is it trudging? Thwacking. No, I think you're right. I think it's trudging.
No, okay. So imagine this. You're 8 feet tall.
I can't imagine that.
You're a giant monster. But listen, oof. You got to swim through the swamp because it's easier on the knees. You got to keep those knees vertile. You got to keep them young and healthy so you swim.
He's doing...
You don't put the pressure on them.
He's doing water aerobics.
Yes, he's keeping his knees.
Him and the
fresh.
Crocodiles are like, swim right, swim left, lift your tail, and or other parts, I guess. I don't know. He don't got a tail.
No. His arms?
Got that. He's like, damn it, I wore my new Jordans today. Come on, swampy Cajun.
I'd be a little upset if he could afford Jordans and I couldn't.
So here's the second theory why these guys have webbed feet. And I just want to, you know, sometimes... You know the phrase, shoot the messenger?
Yeah. Don't shoot the messenger?
Yeah, don't shoot the messenger.
Don't do that.
Sometimes, I mean, we try to be pretty clear when we're the ones putting our opinions out there.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're reporting other people's thoughts and opinions. So I just want to confirm that this is one of those times that I'm saying something that I didn't come up with.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
This is from the interweb. The second theory is that since the Honey Island swamp is so far away from everything else and so detached, it kept them from the other Bigfoots and or Big Feet of the world. And therefore, when it was time to, you know, go out to dinner, go to Applebee's, catch a movie, and see where things lead, none of the other Big Feet were around. So it was only their own family. Incest is what I'm saying.
Incest.
So this led them to having like web feet and like three toes so instead of five.
They're on that Targaryen Lannister kind of thing. It's Game of Thrones.
Okay, I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But that was one of the theories that was thrown out there. I thought this was Louisiana, not...
Oh, that adds another element to it, too. It's the South, and that's the thing, the South.
Well, that's West Virginia, technically.
Oh, okay.
Even though, and this is me, Tyler, speaking right now. I really like West Virginia. Great hiking. It's awesome. Also, in addition to the Cajun Sasquatch, it's also called the Louisiana Wookiee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's funny. Actually, I like that, too.
So let's move on to origin theories. So origin stories, there's three of them because everything good comes in threes, right? Which, by the way, I want to give you your credit because you called it and I was like, what are you talking about? Meatloaf died and that was the third.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really bad memes about Meatloaf dying.
That's sad.
Well, you didn't see any of them?
I didn't look for them.
Well, you just on Facebook and they pop up.
I didn't see them.
All right, so I'm gonna be transparent with you for a second. Every single one of these origin stories is at least a little bit ridiculous.
Okay, all right. What is Believe in Bizarre if not a little bit ridiculous?
I think that could have been our second catchphrase. At least a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
As ridiculous as you are, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, you're calling me ridiculous because you pointed at me.
I know. I did it like I got you. Slogan, TM, trademarked. And or registered. So I'm going to go in order from least ridiculous to most ridiculous.
Okay.
We'll build. One, according to Cajun and Native American folklore, some people claim that the Honey Island swamp monster is a Letic. And I actually YouTubed it, and that's the way it was said. So if I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. Letic? It's L-E-T-I-C-H-E. I would have said like Letich or something, but it's okay. Letic.
What's that mean?
Essentially, that is a bayou swamp monster that reportedly lurks around the swamps, attacks people, and turns over boats. They're reported as being either illegitimate children that were raised by alligators or or they're half-human, half-alligator hybrids.
Oh, that's really cool. That's like a monster from TMNT.
There's at least three or four moments in this episode where if you really think about the mating process and the things we talk about, it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
But it's also just as easy to gloss over it. Either way, bad juju.
And here we are applying our gloss.
The second theory is that these Cajun Sasquatches are scientist experiments gone wrong.
I like that.
Right? Who knows what DNA were flip-flopping and what genes they were playing Connect Four with, right?
Could have easily been Spider-Man.
Easily. Any of them. Any of your favorite Spider-Man. It's not a spoiler anymore. I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
You're not allowed to claim spoiler anymore. Tobey Maguire got old.
Well,
according to all the pictures I see on the interweb, because I haven't seen it yet. So my question about this one is, if it's true, I wonder if that would be the case for all Bigfoot humanoids, mm-hmm. creatures, or if it's like just this one, or like what that means about like the idea of them being the missing link. Obviously, this will probably be a big discussion whatever day we decide to do an actual Bigfoot episode.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to kind of plant this one in the second origin story here. I think it is always entirely possible that this is just its own entity.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. Is there more to that theory? It's just like a scientist said, what if?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool?
Okay.
If you just made this thing and then you launched it off into...
Some kind of like super... Listen, when you say Honey Island... What's it called? Honey Island Monster or something?
It's the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Okay. I can't stop seeing the creature from the Black Lagoon just covered in honey. Just eating honey.
Bees everywhere.
Yes.
It's actually a really good villain in Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, which actually has swamps in it. And it's this guy, I think he's the Pain. And he just has welts everywhere and just all these bees around him.
I thought you were going to say the Candyman.
Nope.
The horror.
No, but I mean, that makes sense. All my video game references are from like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, they're all very dated. That's
the last time So this third origin story is absolutely the craziest, but we're going to talk about it. And don't ask me, like, was there a newspaper clipping that showed that this happened? I don't know.
From that.
No one knows.
From that, I'm going to assume there's not.
There's no medical document. It's on somebody's Weebly page, probably.
Okay.
Some folks, and by some folks, I mean multiple articles that I saw, claim that potentially there could have been a circus that was rolling through town on a train.
Okay.
As they be doing. But like in most tragic stories, especially in Ashtabula, Ohio, the train crashed.
Okay.
And when it crashed, the animals got out. And when animals get out of cages and or broken trains, they mate. Especially when you have just a little bit of jazz music playing in the background.
Yeah.
Some soul music. So some people claim that the Honey Island Swamp Monster is the offspring between an alligator and a chimpanzee.
Oh, no.
They both swiped right, and now we have an episode on Believing the Bizarre. Is that the right way?
Yes, right is right.
Okay. The magic of life.
What are you, Dr. Guy from Jurassic Park?
Dr. Grant?
Yes.
Or no, are you talking about Dr. Malcolm, Ian Malcolm? Life, finds a way.
Yes, life finds a way.
I used to do a really good Jeff Goldblum impression.
He does.
It, like my accents, it just left. The older I get, the less talented I get. So it's literally all going downhill from here. So obviously, these will be things we talk about in the discussion. But I want to ask you now that they're fresh in your head, like Subway. Do any of these resonate with you?
Yeah, the third one. I think that I find that really believable.
You picture like they're rolling down the hill from the crash.
Yeah.
And they just happen to find a nice little dinner table and
they fall into they fall into this table and like a little firefly lights a candle and
the alligator's like freaking out and the monkey like picks one little like bug off of its head and it's like thank you and it's like
thank you.
What beautiful fur you have.
He's like what slippery scales you have. And then
then he accidentally called him a crocodile and got offended and then it ended in divorce.
Oh, that's sad. He took all the money.
So let's talk about encounters.
Let me ask you a question. What can you never have too much of?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Vacation days.
Yes.
History episodes.
Let's not get carried away. But how about paranormal podcasts?
You're right. You can't have too many.
But here's the problem. Just like trying to pick out a movie on Netflix, I never know which paranormal podcast to start binging.
That's why you need to check out Scary Time Podcast.
Scary Time Podcast offers an exciting variety of spooky and paranormal podcasts. Each episode is submitted from a completely different podcast. It's like the perfect hors d'oeuvre tray.
And they put out episodes from independent podcasters, so you know you're supporting indie artists.
Podcasts like Nopeville, Curly Conspiracies, and our friends Hidden in the Shadows.
Fun fact, we were on Scary Time last year. Shout out The Great Dismal Swamp Mystery.
So, if you want the ultimate variety of paranormal and creepy topics, check out Scary Time Podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Let me tell you about Ghost Town Podcast.
Ghost Town is a twice-weekly podcast covering and exploring some of the most mysterious and interesting places on Earth.
You know, with a name like Ghost Town, they also dive into the creepy creeps, with topics like haunted hotels, abandoned malls, and deserted amusement parks.
They also cover weird and exciting, wait for it, history topics.
For all you true crime fanatics out there, bon appetit. Because they also discuss infamous true crime cases.
you know you can never have too many paranormal and spooky podcasts. So give Ghost Town Podcast a listen. You know you'll like it.
Actually, Ghost Town Podcast is my wife's favorite podcast, and they didn't even tell me to say that. It's just the truth.
So, if you want to explore the most mysterious locations on Earth, listen to Ghost Town Podcast today.
Check out their website, ghosttownpod.com, or listen and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. So this is the main encounter. This is the one I'd referenced earlier. This is the first time any of this stuff was reported. So this is the way the encounter is going to break down. So we have like the historical encounters, right?
Yeah.
Which it's funny because we're 60s. We're like historical, but really that's like 60 years ago.
It's a long time ago. Yeah.
60s will always be 40 years ago, right? Like the 70s are always 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it is. So we're going to talk about the more historical, profound findings, the one that are really attached to the story. Then I got a couple extra ones, and then I got some YouTube comments.
All right.
So it, just like the origin story, we're going to start with the most credible to literal YouTube comments. Are you ready? So the first documented sighting of the Honey Island Swamp Monster took place in early August of 1963. So Harlan Ford was a retired air traffic controller, and his friend Billy Mills were out hunting in the Honey Island swamp area.
Wait, pause. Okay. So he was a retired air traffic controller in the 60s?
Yeah.
They only had planes for like 20 years.
Well, they probably paid incredibly well then. It's like this new job they created just
for
Harlan.
Here's four nickels a year. Good job,
Harlan. I'm going to go retire to Louisiana and do some hunting in a protected swamp land.
I guess. I don't know.
So due to his experience flying, because he was, as you and I both said, a retired air traffic controller, he was able to scope out the perfect, most secluded areas for him and his buddy Billy to hunt. And this particular spot was so secluded and off the beaten path. Half the trip they had to walk, and the other half they had to take a boat to their exact location. So
that's
this
cool.
It is, you know what? That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's not like anybody can get there by driving their Ford Explorer. You know, you have to like get there. You know, you're so far off the beaten path, like literally only a cell phone call would disturb you, and they didn't have cell phones. Well,
no,
not the average person. Maybe he did if he's so wealthy he was able to retire
in the 60s? After a few years. I don't think so.
No, it was a fax machine.
His buddy actually had to carry the fax machine.
Could you imagine somebody carrying a full-size fax machine?
With the line, too?
They get all the way there, like, oh, it's out of ink. Gotta turn around. Is that how it works, ink?
Yeah.
All right. I know I'm thinking kind of like a printer, but...
I think it
kind
of is a printer.
Yeah. But it has to shoot out paper somehow.
I don't know. I think you're right.
I've only had to, like, fax one time in the last 10 years, and it was for, you know what it was for. So during their time hunting, they claimed that they came across a large and terrifying creature. So as they're hauling their equipment, which I assume at this point was the fax machine, they noticed that this unusually large animal was hunched over and it seemed to be feeding on all fours on this wild boar. So there's just kind of like this moment, right? Like it's just you and your buddy. And you're out hunting, having a good time, and then you come up to this clearing, and you see this huge 8-foot thing. Like, it's not standing yet. It's hovering. It's on all fours.
Yeah.
So you see the backside of it. And it's hovering and just viciously eating this dead boar.
Pooh ate piglet.
what would your actual reaction be to that, to seeing that?
Oh, what the fuck is that? Probably.
Oh no, wow.
That's bad.
Good thing we have these big ass guns
and a fax machine.
Just throw the fax machine. He's like, oh, technology. But this thing like literally ripped the throat of this boar out. It was pretty gross. And Harlan described this figure as being covered in dingy gray hair with longer hair hanging from its head. Out of fear, and very understandably, the men drew their weapons and pointed it at this large, hairy beast. And when they did, the creature stood and looked directly at them. The two men estimated that the creature weighed close to 400 pounds and stood about 7 to 7.5 feet tall. The creature's enormous size and hair was frightening enough, but it was the yellowish-colored eyes and the horrible stench that reeked from this creature that stuck in Harley and Billy's mind long after this unbelievable encounter. Within moments of drawing their weapons, the Honey Island Swamp Monster darted off with incredible speed. Once they got back and they told everyone about their encounter, news started spreading across the area, and this is when other people started coming up with their potential origin stories. And kind of like we referenced in the origin section of the episode, this is when a lot of the Native American folk started associating this creature with the Letic. I don't know where Billy stood on all this. It's kind of like, remember the Pascagoula thing where it's like, once they experience it together, Charlie's like, all right, hold the fax machine. Like, this is my episode now.
Yes.
So I don't know where Billy is on all this, but Harlan Ford got really, really, really obsessed. And for like a decade, kept going back to the same spot, trying to find this Cajun Sasquatch again and again and again and again.
Did he use a nice plate of Cajun shrimp pasta?
No.
He probably should have done that.
But he did shower with Dr. Squatch. Listen.
Not sponsored.
Doctor, not a sponsor. Not yet. Hopefully one day. Dr. Squatch, actually, I smelled a couple of their soaps and I wasn't a big fan.
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I smell like three of them and I'm like, ugh. But their ads are so good. Like the type that is a 5-minute ad and you watch the whole thing. Love Dr. Squatch for that.
When the honey monster was eating the boar, Robert Baratheon was so happy. It's another Game of Thrones joke.
Okay. It kind of reminds me of our own experience at the One Cemetery, which I think we talked about on this podcast. It's like the first time you go, you have this unbelievable experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you keep going back and it just gets more and more disappointing.
Just more mundane every time.
How many years? Like what year? Year 6 where he's like, maybe I should just watch the game.
I think it's probably year 10.
Year 10 is when he was like, listen. Like, it's not like even us, like driving to where we go and then walking there for 5 minutes. Like, this is like walking, getting a boat. Yeah. As he's on the boat, like, he's got a guide. He's like, what are you doing? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's feels like a lot.
Yes. But maybe, just maybe, after 10 years, he might have been finally rewarded. So one day in the 1970s, on a trail near a small watering hole, Ford noticed what looked like the aftermath of a very bloody and brutal fight. He saw spots of spattered blood on the ground, and he crawled through shrubbery to the other side of the water hole to find another wild boar that had just been killed. Same exact way, throat completely ripped out. That's the cage in McCamey Manor.
Yeah, for that boar.
Can't sue us. He's trying to get a video of the boar. Tell him how much fun you had. The boar is just laying there dead. Come on. But next to the dead boar turned out to be the best evidence he was going to capture, supposedly. And we'll get back to the supposedly. But what he found was a large footprint, like huge, huge footprint. And he ended up making a cast of the footprint with liquid plaster. I don't know the process of that, like how you would do that, why he might have that on him. I guess in 2022, we just snap a picture.
Yeah, that's exactly why. But I think it's just like some powder you mix with water.
Hmm. And he just had it on him. I guess after 10 years, imagine going 10 years and then you don't have what you need.
Oh my God. He would have shot everything around him.
Oh, I have the liquid plaster right here. Oh, damn it. I took the fax machine this time. And this is how we know that these things have three toes. Because it was a three-toed footprint. And when he took that casting to the local game warden and LSU's College of Agriculture to be examined to figure out, you know, maybe this thing isn't what I thought it was. Maybe it was something, I don't want to say real. He saw it. He knows it's real. Maybe, okay, let me put it this way. He thought maybe they could find out what it is and they could identify it.
Oh, okay.
They could put a name to something that he didn't know what it was.
Oh, it's the Schmuckadagleder. I don't know.
Is that another Game of Thrones?
It was a joke.
Oh, okay. I see. They were unable to identify. They were like, this is a big feat. This is a Cajun Sasquatch. This is the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
It's Drew Brees.
Oh, God. I like Drew Brees. And he's retired. Ben Roethlisberger.
Drew Brees can take a joke. He's fine.
So here's what's interesting. I mean, all that was interesting. If you're not interested, why are you listening? He passed away in 1980. That's not what's interesting. It is claimed that supposedly after his death, his family found a Super 8 film, not of the movie Super 8, but it displayed the creature walking around the swamp.
It was sitting on that?
Yeah. See, that's why I'm a little skeptical about that specifically. There was an article talking about people were trying to disprove it, so maybe it has come to life since then. I didn't see it. But if that is true, people are claiming that they kind of disproved it. Like, it looked like something in a coat.
Okay.
But either way, the fact that he didn't immediately report that he had it, unless it was so vague that you had to, like he didn't know it existed. Like, when he watched it, he didn't see it. And then some of his family watched it and they caught it. You know what I mean? How many pictures might you have where there's a spirit in that photograph, but you just don't catch it?
I don't like that thought at all. Thank you.
Now everybody go through your old portraits, your old picture frames, and look in every window. There's always been a moment of, like, if you think about cliche jump scares, right?
Yeah.
Like, if anybody in a horror movie opens a medicine cabinet in their bathroom, you know when they close it, something's going to be behind them, right? But that one is what it is. One of the ones that sticks in my mind a lot is when somebody's watching TV and they turn the TV off and then you see something in the reflection of the TV screen.
Doesn't The Conjuring have that?
Does it? I don't remember.
Or something.
Something does.
Yeah, I know.
Multiple something.
Yeah.
That's just the one that sticks in my head. So maybe in this Super 8 film, it wasn't clear. I'm giving him an out. I don't think that's true. But he might have also not, it might be fake. So what did this lead to? They find this video, this guy gets a footprint, this guy claims to see this beast. Well, nothing like running the family business. So his granddaughter, Dana, I think it would be Dana. I actually didn't look that up. I looked up Letic.
I think it's Dana, not Dana.
Dana White?
Dana.
Dana White. That's a dude though.
That's Dana.
Is it Dana White?
Yes.
Have I just been saying it wrong for forever?
It's Dana.
It's not
Dana.
Somebody out there pronounces it like Dana, and they're feeling very offended right now.
Dana Aykroyd.
So his granddaughter, Dana, decided to continue the search for the Honey Island Swamp Monster, or she saw this as an opportunity to cash in. So she created a documentary-type video with local eyewitnesses and encounters called Encounters with the Honey Island Swamp Monster, which is actually on Amazon. And you can check it out.
Really?
Hmm?
Well, I'm gonna watch it.
She also wrote a book very similarly titled The Honey Island Swamp Monster Documentation. I'm not saying I read it because I didn't, and I'm not saying that it's a word-for-word transcription of the documentary. I don't. I'm just saying if it is, that'd be pretty BS.
Feels like what it is.
And I'm just joking. I mean, it's actually kind of cool. Like if your grandfather was known to be this person that discovered this Bigfoot type like cryptid, and you had an opportunity to prove, not that I don't think anybody's going around saying Ford is crazy, but if you had an opportunity to find it and prove it, you know, kind of like your family legacy, it's kind of cool. I joke, but I think overall it actually is pretty sweet. So this is her bio. It's Dana Holyfield. I kind of like that name. Quote, my name is Dana Holyfield. I am the granddaughter to the legendary swamp monster hunter, Harlan Ford. I have continued his research, investigating more encounters with the Honey Island Swamp Monster. You may have seen me on TV shows that air on the Travel Channel, the History Channel, Discovery, Destination America, and more, all of which have forgone history for paranormal.
Yes.
And I am not complaining. I've been contacted by people all over the world who are interested in learning more about the Louisiana Honey Island Swamp Monster, unquote. And that is pulled from Pelican State of Mind. Pelican State of Mind. So I do have other encounters.
Okay.
That's like more so the history of the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Yeah.
So here's a couple I pulled from different sites. You ready?
I'm excited.
So this one, and they're not long. None of these are long. This one was pulled from unknownexplorers.com.
Sounds credible.
So it says in 1973, so this is around the time of the footprint. So yeah. About 10 years, actually exactly like 10 years after Harlan Ford initially saw it. Whenever I say Harlan Ford, I think of the guy from Knives Out.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Harlem Throb? Throm?
Throm?
Thromb?
Thromb?
Thromb? I don't know. I think of him. But in 1973, a guide was traveling down a bayou in a small boat when it struck something in the water. The guide stopped to see what it was, and when he saw a creature swim to the shore, climb out of the water, shake the water out of its Jordans, and then walk into the woods on two legs.
He's like, it's good for my knees.
Aerobics, you should try it. So that's one.
Okay.
One. According to Mysterious Universe, another witness came forward by the name of Ted Williams, who claimed on several occasions he had seen the monster. Quote, first time I saw it, it was standing plumb like a stump.
What does that mean?
I stopped and realized it wasn't a stump.
It's a plumb.
It wasn't supposed to be there. When I stopped, it ran. It was dark gray, about 7 foot high. It jumped by you. That was the first time I saw it. The next time I saw it was swimming in the river. Two of them. One was bigger than the other and faster than the other. And they swam just like a human with them long overhead strokes. I tried to get one of them to look at me. And the other one ran off. And the other one wouldn't look at me. I could have shot it, but I wouldn't. On account, it wouldn't look at me. It looked too much like a human to me. Broad shoulders, arms hanging down below its knees. What human? Sorry. Hands looked almost like a human's. Unquote. I thank you, Ted Williams.
That's the next Hemingway right there.
Oh my God. Yeah, short to the point sentences. All right, now I have the two encounters that I pulled from YouTube. These okay. are the comments. You know what? I think I messed up. I think that one should have been last if I'm going in terms of silliness here. But anyway, first YouTube encounter. Quote, when I was a UPS driver, I was driving down Alexandria Freeway and pulled over on a small bridge and took a leak down on the banks of the swamp. In the middle of it, I heard a splash. And then I looked to the left and I saw two green glowing eyes looking through the trees, and I heard intimidating heavy breathing. I stopped and walked backward slowly and started up to the rig and shifted as fast as I could. Now, this was around 3:30 in the morning, so I was out there by myself. I estimated the height of this thing to be 7 or 8 feet. I was standing near a tree, and I'm 5'7", so that's how I estimated the height.
Good height.
I never told anybody about this, and it happened in 2008. I don't know what it was, so I'm just saying. I know that gators do not stand on two legs. I like how he had to justify his feelings and what he saw at the end by saying, or she. Yeah. No, I don't think, well, I'm not judging. I know gators do not stand on two legs. It's like, well,
yeah.
Makes me wonder what he thought he saw. Glad to know that someone else out there is 5'8".
Yes.
Rocking that Al Pacino.
It's a good size. Good size.
All right, number two and our final encounter. And this one is, it's in the dialect.
In the dialect.
Yeah, in the dialect.
Okay.
Quote, the swamp was in a different place in the 60s. I was only about 5 years old, and my father had brought some acreage in St. Elmo, Alabama, near Tillman's, corner not too far from Mobile Bay, like in the movie Forrest Gump when he got on a shrimp boat. Around Mobile Bay, there are some small rivers, Dog River, and our home was at the back of the property by a swamp. In Halls Mill Creek, yes, they had gators, snakes, snapping turtles, and much of the same wildlife. I remember one evening, just before sunset, and the shadows were creeping into the trees, and we saw a hairy man, not extremely big, maybe 6 foot or so, about 200 feet away and 30 feet up on a large tree in the swamp, leaning over, watching us. I said to my brother, "Look, the monkey man." My older brother, of course, had to correct me. No, that's the boogeyman. We yelled for our father and mother to come see. My dad saw it, but my mom said she wouldn't say. We were told never to go out at night and always be together. My father had to go out of town for work, so my mother, with two small children, me 5 and my brother was 8. That's a sentence here, I guess. My dad would be gone at times all week and come home on the weekends. My mother's nerves from water moccasins and snakes in general, plus the boogeyman, well, she was scared. We lived there 2 or 3 more years before he moved, but that monkey man, I still remember how he was leaning over, watching us till sunset, and the darkness swallowed his silhouette. As a boy, I just thought the monkey man was curious about us, but my family's fear that he might be sinister made me, my mom, and my brother uneasy when my dad was away. And all the noises from thousands of frogs, crickets, and all the creatures of the swamp would go dead silent, except sometimes a strange scream would come from the swamp. All I have to say, for the people who don't think anything's out there except the animals we know, go out and look for yourself. Once you see something that you thought didn't exist, you'll never forget it.
Jesus Unquote. Christ, that's a YouTube comment?
Yep, that's just somebody on YouTube. I don't particularly like the monkey man comment, but all that was in a quote. But you know what I do like?
What's that?
Heading to the discussion.
I see.
So before we get to the discussion, now is the time in the episode that we love to thank our newest patrons. Again, we thank everybody listening. We thank our existing patrons. But this special moment is dedicated to Angelica, Joe, Brittany, Sam, Jennifer, and Emma.
Wow, that's a lot of names.
6 of them. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate you supporting the podcast. We appreciate you getting on our Patreon and enjoying all the extra bonus content on there, like quizzes, listener submission interviews, Netflix watch parties, Google Hangouts, bonus segments with producer Ben. Remember him? He still exists.
He does.
Hi, Ben. Also, again, we mentioned at the top, thank you, everybody, who was in or joined our dedicated tier in the month of January. We hope that if you got your hat already, you're enjoying it. And if you haven't yet, we hope you enjoy it when it makes its way to you. Also, I feel like this is always a great time to mention, if we get, or I should say positively, when we get to 200 patrons, Charlie is going to get something Believing the Bizarre related inked on his skin forever.
The way you say it feels so ominous, but I'm really excited about it.
You should be.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great and forever. Forever. Until I quit the next day. Just kidding. But back to the discussion. Okay, so there's a lot here, but it's very condensed.
Yes.
So I want to make this kind of a broad question because, like I said, this is, I don't want to say a historical moment. I'm not saying that everybody should remember this moment for the rest of your life, but it kind of is the first time we're really talking about a Bigfoot-like entity.
We've never talked about that before.
So then let me ask you, Charlie, what are your thoughts on, I don't want to just say Bigfoot, but this type of creature?
So in the Louisiana Bigfoot or like all of Big Feet population?
Let's start. You don't have to go too far into it, but maybe just in general, and then we'll work our way into Louisiana.
Think that there's definitely a place where Bigfoot exists. I don't know if it's Oregon. I don't know if it's in Russia, like the Yeti. I don't know if it's in the middle of the country. I don't know. But I think there's a place where some origin of Bigfoot does exist. Maybe it's all those places. But I think it's definitely somewhere.
Do you think they're connected?
I think they could be. They could be at one time. They could still be. Maybe it is different branches of evolution. Maybe they are just another creature that is elusive. Maybe they're multidimensional. I'm not sure. I don't think they'd be multidimensional. That theory always seemed kind of weak to me.
So when you think Bigfoot, where do you, like, when you, like, someone says something about Bigfoot, what do you immediately picture location-wise?
Northwest.
Pacific Northwest?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. Me and my sister, when we were like teenagers, were like, yeah, let's go hunt Bigfoot in the Pacific Northwest. It's funny because the idea of catching a Bigfoot, like visually, is like exhilarating. But if I actually came face to face with one, no idea what I would do.
Bigfoot doesn't really scare me. It's not a scary thing, but I never thought about, like, what if he showed up behind me?
I feel like if you agitate it, I feel like it could be a scary thing. One of my very good friends, who I haven't talked to in a while, I hope he's doing well. He was big on the Bigfoot, like mm-hmm. YouTube rabbit holes. And every now and then, like I would say probably once a month or so, he would send me a video. And he'd be like, first 15 minutes is bullshit, but at the 16 minute mark, let me know what you think. And, you know, sometimes it seemed like BS, but sometimes, man, like there was one that I think was fake, but it was so creepy. It was these kids walking in snow at night in the woods, and you just heard this scream. And there's so much opportunity in this day and age to fake stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was a bone-chilling scream that didn't sound human.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty freaky. Could have been an animal I can't identify. But this other one, I wish I knew the guy's name. This was like over a year ago. It was quarantine time. I watched this. I can't shout the guy out, but he's like a YouTuber that's dedicated to like hunting and finding Bigfoot. Like he's the type of guy that like studies anatomy and is like, here's this video of Bigfoot that people are claiming is fake, but look at where the elbow is. Like it scientifically doesn't make sense for a human forearm to bicep or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. the ratio of the arm and shoulder, it didn't make sense. But he watched this other guy's video. So this YouTuber that dissects videos watching a YouTube Bigfoot Hunters video. You with me?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's going like frame by frame. Like the video is over a half hour long. And this guy was like going frame by frame. And the guy didn't think he caught Bigfoot. The guy in the video did not think that he saw Bigfoot. But the guy dissecting it paused a frame. And when the guy's angling his camera up, and he's just talking about whatever, like he's got his camera facing him from that terrible, god-awful double chin angle.
Yeah.
So you could see up behind him. And he goes frame by frame so that you can see it's not just the tree. But up in the tree, you can see that there's something like sitting up there holding on. And just from like one frame to the next, you can see like an arm move.
Ooh. Wow.
So you can see like this guy is out there hunting a Bigfoot, thinks it's not around, and something was up huddled on a tree watching him.
Oh, wow. That's so crazy.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Like, ugh. The idea of being watched and not even knowing it and not knowing you captured it. This is the second time I'm saying it. People, go through your photos, go through your videos, and then send them to us.
Not all your videos, just ones if you think you find something.
Yeah, you don't. Well, I mean, you can send it. Maybe watch. Maybe one.
I always thought it was really interesting, that idea that we've never found a body, but they bury their dead.
Do they? Maybe they eat them.
That's the idea, that they bury their dead. Or maybe they eat them. Yeah. I don't know.
Good eating when grandpa goes.
Now, the honey swamp.
The Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Winnie the Pooh.
Cajun Sasquatch. Was it the Cajun Wookiee? Was that its name? Was that the
Louisiana Wookiee?
The Louisiana Wookiee. Yeah. But before we get to the actual creature, do any of the origins feel real to you? I know I asked you earlier and you kind of like the scientist one, but.
Yeah, maybe the first theory where they are incestuous Bigfoot.
I tend to subscribe to the idea that they're just their own thing. I think it's fun to think of where they came from. That's what humans do. We don't like to just accept that things are. We need to know where it started, where it came from, why it is, what it is. Nothing wrong with being curious, but I'm totally cool saying it just is. So looking at this, what gives you pause that maybe this isn't real? Because I see it in your face. I don't think you're going believable.
No.
So what's giving you pause here? Little cat pause. What's declawing you?
The encounters are, well, then it's not that many. Were there a lot more online or?
Not really. I think people in the area have more. Like if you watch the documentary that mm-hmm. Dana.
But it's also a pretty remote area as well.
That's the thing is this is an area that's protected. It's protected wildlife. So people aren't just stumbling in there.
I don't know. Someone just feels fishy about it. Maybe I'm just being overly skeptical, overly analytic.
Overly analytic. Well, if there were good encounters, let's break down, let's find the problem here. if there were good encounters, is the concept of the cryptid believable to you? Or is the concept of the cryptid believable, the lack of encounters are just taking away from it?
Well, here's the thing. I always have a hard time believing Bigfoot stuff.
Really?
I do, yeah.
Even though you think he's out there, just not in Louisiana.
Maybe out there. I'm not sure.
He's like Sean Payton. He's like, I'm out. I ain't here.
But no, I don't know. I always take Bigfoot with a grain of salt because it's such an overused...
Overdone.
Yeah.
Cliche.
Yes. I always consider it a pinch of salt with that.
It's almost like... Kind of like when we were talking about the dog man.
Yeah.
It's like if everywhere says they have one, it does kind of diminish it. Like people in every state claim that they've seen like a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Either it's incredibly basic and we just have yet to find a body or a better video proof, or people are just making up a lot of stories.
Exactly. And I think this might fall into Louisiana's Bigfoot. Maybe what else could it be? Isn't a question. I guess a bear.
Yeah, it's weird though, because some people are like gray, matted hair, but then like it's a cross between, you know, a monkey and an alligator. And one guy said, I've never seen an alligator stand on two legs.
That's so also another thing. The sayings are very inconsistent.
Yeah, but there's other, like, you thought this episode topic was going to be something completely different. So there's other stuff out there.
Yes.
Maybe it isn't this and it's the other thing. What did you say? You can drop it.
The Ragaru? I don't think that's the right name.
The Ragnarok?
Yeah. I mean, it could be the Rougarou.
Yeah. I'm sure there's people out there that know about that. I'm sure that'll be an episode one day.
I think it will, because it's very interesting.
Maybe next week. Let's not leave the bayou.
That'd be interesting. Oh, maybe I'll do, no, I probably won't do that.
It's fun. What's interesting to me is the name, and you can name stuff whatever you want it to be named. But Honey Island Swamp Monster, to me, does not... I don't see, like, a Bigfoot type thing.
No, I see, like, a goopy lizard.
Yeah, goopy carbonara. So where do you land on the believability scale about this creature? The Cajun Sasquatch. Spicy Sasquatch.
I give it a skeptical. Even though it is in a remote area where it could be, you know, just really, really well hidden... The fact that there's so many Sasquatch stories state around the country and around the world, it just dilutes it so much that you need a lot of evidence to make it believable in one spot.
Would you watch on pay-per-view the Rougarou versus the Honey Island Swamp Monster?
I'd watch that all night.
All night.
That'd be cool.
Goes 45 rounds. Wild boar jumps in, gets his neck ripped out.
Yes.
That's the finishing move. Press R2. I'm going to go viable because, one, it's a pretty protected area, so I don't think it's as explored as many other places. So we don't really know what's out there. Some of these people, it feels genuine. None of the stories I said, outside the origin story, like the mating and everything, but none of them feel larger than life. Like, I'm going to spin this tale to convince you that this ape-like monster is out there. If feels really like, hey, this is what I saw, and if you don't believe me, fuck it. This is what it is. Don't go out there alone. You know what I mean? Like, they don't feel like they're trying to convince you that they had the most terrifying experience, like a story, a narrative. It's just kind of like, yeah, they're here, and I saw it. And even if every other encounter is fake, if Harlan's and Billy's is true, I don't know what that would have been. I don't think it would have been a bear. So even if it's not necessarily exactly what we think it is or what they think it is, I think something could be out there. I think there's a chance. Maybe it's not still out there. Maybe it was only out there in the 60s. Who knows? But I'm going to give it a viable. So that is our episode on the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Delicious.
Delicious. Guess what?
What?
If you, Charlie, and or the listener listening right now on any platform, probably Spotify, want extra content, you're like, oh my God, Tyler, are you going to talk about Patreon again? No. What I'm talking about is a monthly newsletter.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We have a newsletter coming out.
We have a newsletter. It'll be monthly to start. We don't know. We'll see where things go. You know, we don't want to go too fast. We'll see where things go. But if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, we're not going to spam you again. We don't have time to spam you. We got some stuff going on. We don't got time to be sending out stuff like that. But it'll talk about our episodes we're covering. It'll have a little bit behind the scenes stuff. If we're dropping any new merch, if there's any type of giveaway, Patreon content, any announcements with the podcast, it's just another opportunity to make sure that you don't miss any good paranormal believing the bizarre goodness.
And listen, we sat on this newsletter thing for a long time. We talked about it. Like, how can we get this information out, but also make it look dope?
Yep.
And I think we figured it out because it looks really cool.
Did we figure it out, Charlie?
I didn't figure out anything. Tyler figured it out. And Tyler and Ben figured
we'll
it
give
out.
We'll give a lot of credit here to producer Ben because he'll be the one probably dealing with a lot of it. We'll oversee it to make sure he doesn't but it will be good.
I said, yeah, guys, this looks awesome. Good job. Good job, everyone.
So if you do want to subscribe to our newsletter, you can head to our website, believingthebizarre.com. You can, if you're on following us on social media, you can go to our Instagram bio link and sign up for the newsletter there. Again, we're not going to be spamming you. It's just extra content, good for announcements, and all that jazz. And as always, if you want to leave us a review, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you're on Spotify, hit that 5-star and just think what you want to say to us, just or
can send it to us in an Instagram.
You can DM us. We respond. We really do respond. Mm-hmm. Or if you're on Apple, give us that 5-star. Tell us what you're thinking. Give us that, oh man, that's great. It was great to see that again.
Yes.
So that's awesome. So I want to tell you this.
Oh gosh, okay.
My thermostat broke.
What?
My thermostat has not been registering the cutoff temperature. And it's cold now. Like, it was negative degrees this week. But even when it's negative degrees, it is not good to come home to a house, and I'm not exaggerating, in the 90s.
Dude.
My thermostat read 97 degrees.
Oh, my God.
This might be our last episode, because when I get the gas bill. Yeah, electric. Like, I might just die.
Yeah.
I'm a wild boar myself.
Not to get too American Dad with this, but I think you can contest that and call the electric department.
And say, listen, I bought it. We had a new thermostat, and thankfully, my wife knows a guy who owns a HVAC business who helped us out. But man, that is not fun to walk into. And I'm also going to slide in here really quick. Do you have any updates, Charlie? Before I promo one last thing?
Yeah. Before we started this episode, I had to call the police, my dad, to make sure he was alive. And that was a whole ordeal.
He is alive.
He's fine.
He was playing the trumpet.
Yes, he was, and not answering his phone.
Most people don't answer their phone when they play the trumpet. If you like video content, we are starting to build our YouTube, so I'm going to say this really quick. Go to YouTube, subscribe. We actually have a video out there. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening, supporting the podcast. Charlie and I appreciate it. We love you. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
The podcast, as bizarre as you are.